very warm welcome to K-Scope, the post-progressive podcast. Billy Reeves here. It's the best of 2012. We'll hear from Stephen Wilson, Anathema, Bruce Sword, Richard Barbieri, and other members of the K-Scope family, and play some snippets from the K-Scope releases. What a year. Well done, everyone. I'll start, if I may, with one of my favourites, Something in the Sky. This is Mothlight. Singles of the year on K-Scope, the wonderful Mothlight with Something in the Sky from the album Dark Age. Now, we spoke to Richard Barbieri a couple of times this year, both in his capacity as keyboardist for Porcupine Tree alongside their drummer Gavin Harrison. That was about Porcupine Tree's live album Octane Twisted. And also we spoke to him about Not the Weapon but the Hand, the album that Richard made with Marillion's Steve Hogarth. So first, here is Steve Hogarth talking about getting Dave Gregory of XTC involved in the record.
We approached Dave to arrange some strings. We didn't even ask him to play guitar, did we?
No, not really, in the beginning.
Richard, Dave was in the H band, so we go quite back a long way with Dave Gregory. He's a lovely fella. He couldn't be a nicer person. And so we went down to Swindon one day with a load of files that he couldn't read because all his systems are steam-powered installed.
I'm so glad he's still in Swindon as well. That warms my heart for some reason.
We called it Wallace and Gromit Studios.
Right. It's
the official name. It's a setup that I've never seen anything like.
Right.
And we took some files and asked him if he would arrange some string parts for us, which is something he's also very good at. And he said he would. And then, of course, having done that, when he came back to us, he said, "Well, I've put a bit of guitar on it as well. You don't have to use it." He couldn't help himself.
Steve Hogarth and Richard Barbieri with Crack from the album Not the Weapon but the Hand. Next up, here's Richard Barbieri and Gavin Harrison from Porcupine Tree with memories of the Incident World Tour that provided us with the Octane Twisted live album.
The two nights that we played, first Radio City Music Hall and then Royal Albert Hall, were very special for us because we'd never played in such... or at least Porcupine Tree had never played in such beautiful venues and vibey. I personally liked Radio City because it was downtown Manhattan. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a very buzzing kind of place.
Mm-hmm. So those for me as well were very special. I thought the night we recorded The Incident was great. Chicago has always been a good place for us to play. Crowd's always really enthusiastic there. That was nice because we felt we really put in a good performance, and you know these things, you know, you come off stage and you kind of, you're quite confident about listening back to the audio.
Porcupine Tree, The Incident from the K-Scope album Octane Twisted, the document of Porcupine Tree's most recent world tour. Gavin Harrison, of course, stays nice and busy outside Porcupine Tree. We at K-Scope released a further collaboration between himself and multi-instrumentalist O5 Rick. Here's the title track of that album, The Man Who Sold Himself.
Watch out! Judas Christ on the hill. Savile Row, Sav. Here's a snake for your organic garden of Eden. Watch out! He's a man on the go. Is too far, no demand is too hard. Watch out! Cheers to the man who sold himself.
That's Gavin Harrison and O5 Rick, The Man Who Sold Himself, from the album of the same name. At North Atlantic Oscillation, K-Scope Young Bucks, who are based in Edinburgh in Scotland, re-emerged this year with their excellent sophomore LP. So many of my favourite bands have come from Scotland, so we asked Sam from North Atlantic Oscillation why such a small country has such a rich heritage of bands.
I agree with that in a kind of all time. You know, if like, you know, it does punch above its weight historically, but I don't know if that would necessarily be the case right now, because I think it suffers from the same problems that the UK scene in general suffers from, which is just gross repetition and recycling and failure of imagination and lack of innovation, which I think affects the whole country really. But historically, why, like, so many excellent bands like Blue Nile, Orange Juice, Boards of Canada, from so many different genres, came from such a small country, I'm not sure. Geographically remote or isolated places sometimes do kind of force people to be creative or to make their own fun. Whereas if you're, you know, if you're right in the center of, you know, a capital city or something, there's so much to do, you can afford to be very passive. If you're kind of in the provinces, you kind of need to be a bit more creative in order to pass the time. So maybe it's something to do with that. I'm not saying that Edinburgh or Glasgow are lacking in, you know, diversions. Far from it. You know, I mean, Edinburgh has the biggest arts festival in the world and all that. But it's more of a mindset. You know, it's a kind of a subconscious feeling that you get that you know, in a kind of windswept, cold place, or you know, it's like that for part of the year, and you do have to kind of do something to.
I don't want to.
From the album Fog Electric, that's called Soft Coda. Ulva returned with one of British broadcasting legend Danny Baker's favourite albums of the year, Childhood's End, a selection of reworkings of the dark side of late 60s psychedelia. Ahead of their wonderful take on We the People's In the Past, here's Chris from Ulva on the motivation behind the recording of the album.
To me, it's somehow the birth of rock music as we relate to rock music in a way, coming from a sort of heavy metal background. It's interesting to delve into where it all started to happen for the first time, you know, turning guitars around, reversing them, and you know, all those things that happened at the time. And of course it was a, generally speaking, a very exciting time, I would imagine, to be young in, and kind of LSD was legal and people were really opening up to many, many things, and I think a lot of magic was born in that era, really. So it's a sort of exposure to things that I know a lot of people who probably listen to us are unfamiliar with. So there's a kind of desire to be ambassadors in this as well for a lot of things that we love, you know, and sort of hope that we can open some gates. This is actually the stuff that we sit at home and listen to and get really stoked about.
Try my friend doing all the things we used to do. If you could color me
Over. That's called In the Past from the album Childhood's End. The Pineapple Thief have had a great year. The album All the Wars and a tour. Frontman Bruce Sword and I caught up at his home studio in the West Country, and he took me through the narrative of the birth of the album.
I started it in January 2011, and I remember I sat down and I said, right, I've got to write an album, it's got to be the best album that I've ever written. And I was going to demo them all up in my studio. I wasn't going to tell any of the band, I wasn't going to share any of the demos. So I spent, must have been 5 months, just cooped up on my own, just going insane writing these songs. And then I shared them with the band and I said, right, here you go, here's the and it was absolute terrifying experience, because I was waiting for the reply, like just literally watching my laptop going, come on, where's the reply? Because you know, they could have replied and said, oh Bruce, what's going on? You've lost it, mate, you know. what have you done? And it was, but luckily they all replied and said, this is brilliant. And then it was like, thank goodness. And that's sort of an insight into how it sort of, it becomes so personal and such a sort of labor of love that 18 months later I'm going through exactly the same thing, except I'm not sharing it with the band, I'm sharing it with everyone else. So you're now waiting for, well, here you go, here's what I've concocted over the last 18 months, and it's a really bizarre feeling because it's all over for me.
From All the Wars, that's called Last Man Standing. Inevitably, Stephen Wilson's been busy this year. K-Scope released Get All You Deserve, a live DVD, Blu-ray and double CD set documenting the solo Grace for Drowning tour. And there's a new solo studio album on the way for 2013. Here he is with an update on how that new record has been done and his relationship with Get All You Deserve.
Shall we call it a concert film, or is it a concert film and album? How do you see it?
I guess I call it a film, yeah, because it's like, everyone calls it a DVD, but of course it's coming out on Blu-ray and DVD, so you can't call it a DVD. So it's, yes, it's a concert film, yeah.
If you're looking back on it and mixing, etc., how did the material kind of transmogrify from kind of demos to album to tour to concert film? Is there any that was sort of like you look at the film and you think that's the way we should have done it in the studio, or vice versa?
Well, most of them,
right?
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that was so pleasantly surprising to me about the whole process of putting the band together, was how much I realised that I missed that kind of interaction you get when you get a bunch of great musicians playing together in a room or in a stage or whatever. And that's one of the reasons why the next record I'm doing, which I start recording in just a couple of weeks.
Next solo record.
The next solo record in a couple of weeks, I'm actually taking my whole band out to LA, and we're actually going to that in the kind of old school way. Setting up in a studio with a great engineer, getting some good tones, and then just bashing the songs out. In a way, this time I'm saying, okay, I've done the demos. Right, let's throw all that out. Right. Let's just do it the way we would be doing it if we were learning it for a concert tour, and try to capture that kind of energy this time.
Stephen Wilson from the K-Scope release Get All You Deserve. That is a piece entitled Postcard. And we'll be hearing more from Stephen Wilson, of course, next year with a new solo studio album. There's going to be a tour. Shows including London's Royal Festival Hall. See you there. Here's one of my favourites of the year now from the K-Scope releases. Here's the beautiful Black Lily from the band Gazpacho. Gorgeous, this is.
Oh,
from the album March of Ghosts. They are Gaspacho, and that is Black Lily. Right then, we asked you for your track of the year, and it was close, but here's your winner, the band who won Prog Magazine's Live Event of the Year at the Progressive Rock Awards and the Critics' Choice for Album of the Year in Prog Magazine and the editor of Kerrang, James McMahon's Album of the Year, and it was in the top five albums of the year in both Metal Hammer and Kerrang's End of Year poll. What a year it's been for Anathema. Here's Vincent and Daniel at the Progressive Rock Awards at Kew Gardens.
Hello, Billy.
Have you enjoyed yourself? Congratulations.
Must be great, Billy, to win the live. Well, that's the top award,
yeah,
isn't
we're
it?
Amazing. First time we've ever done anything like this, and I know that everybody in the band is thrilled, and I am too. I'm just keeping it all in, but they're all knocked out, the rest of the band, and it's great.
And a strange show to win it for, because it was, you know, it's not your norm, wasn't your normal thing. It was quite an adventurous night.
Union Chapel and Coco, for, like, I think, obviously the two sides of the coin,
yeah,
has helped us in some way.
Yeah, to win it.
But to be acknowledged for a good live band is really what it's all about for me, because we started off as a live band when we were kids. We wanted to play live. That's why we wanted to do it. To be acknowledged for playing well live in the studio, you know, you can get away with so much. You know, you can, yeah, you know, there's so much jiggery-pokery you can do in the studio.
But a word about Jerry Ewing. I don't want to be, obviously one could be the devil's advocate,
yeah,
about, one should be the devil's advocate about these things. But I mean, Jerry Ewing and tonight, what can you say?
Yeah, it's
what
marvellous. Can you say? Well, he, you know, he's probably the most significant journalist in our career that we've ever had. He's supported us, you know, and he's backed us. And he's a very genuine guy. And I like that about him. And this has all been spectacular. We've loved it. Not just him, but the whole prog team. A part of a new movement, you know. And I really believe this will continue. Like a lot of people said tonight, that it's been a long time coming that, that a lot of people here are acknowledged, you know, for what they're doing. And I guess that, you know, like when people champion progressive music, as K-Scope do, as Prog Magazine do,
it's about record labels letting people get on with it, let them do what they do best, let musicians do what they do best.
Yeah.
And that's important to us, isn't it?
Yeah. Exactly, that's what we got with K-Scope, you know, and with Jerry. He's done everybody proud tonight.
Yeah, I agree. And himself proud, yeah, I think.
Well, lads, many, many, many congratulations.
Thank you.
Well done.
See you soon.
And I feel like I knew you before. And I guess that you can heal me. And my love will never die, and my feelings will always shine, and my love will never die, and my feelings will always shine. Thank you.
from the album Weather Systems. That's Anathema, Untouchable, Part 1. The K-Scope fans' track of the year. Thank you so much for all of your support for the podcast this year. We'll be back in early January with some exclusives. There's plenty going on. The new album by the Astonishing Rockers and new signings, Amplifier. That will be released on K-Scope in March. And, as aforementioned, a new Stephen Wilson album and shows, including London's Royal Festival Hall and much else. As ever, all the news at kscopemusic.com via Twitter at kscopemusic and Facebook as well. My name is Billy Reeves. Keep rocking.